Episode 13 of the Nothing But Respect podcast. You join us just after Celtic won Ajax 2 and Celtic were eliminated from the Europa League. Joining me today is John Reid and Bruce. So we'll just get a quick recap. What did you make of the game? We'll start with Bruce.
I was gutted with the game, to be honest. I thought we committed straps well with half a team. A lot of boys I haven't played came right out straight away, you know, right up for it, scored a great goal. Then seemed to kind of revert. Their game plan was obvious to no go gung ho like they had done the previous four games and got caught out. They wanted Ajax to open them up, and Ajax did that a couple of times, and Ajax played quite well in the first half an hour and got the equaliser, but I thought for the half an hour on, so I thought they were only 1 team in it. At times I thought Celtic second half were brilliant. Griffiths said that right. Just one of the nights, Mustard cost us about 3 or 4 great chances, and you know, he's far too greedy at times, but then in the end, you know, it was just a byproduct of taking short corners. I don't know why whoever invented short corners, you know, they were probably sick need to take a short corner in the 87th minute when you've got every player in the box. It's just unbelievable. It's despicable, man. And then obviously you got a plan to score, and fuck, I don't know. You know, you just seem to accept Celtic getting beaten in Europa League these days. It's a shite.
John, I know you predicted this, but what did you make it?
Well, we played better than I thought we would. McGregor done well, even though we were bemused it was playing. I don't know, really. I actually thought we might win because we played no bad during the second half and we had that good spell, but it was the same old feelings. The first goal in particular was laughably bad. Like, we've been conceding non-stop in Europe this year, and the second goal was caught in the break after that daft short corner. Scott Allen got robbed. I didn't really tell us what we knew already the problems, and I don't know if tonight changes them, but I don't think Ronnie, as I'll call him just tonight, because I keep pronouncing his name wrong. There's a mark of respect to the man, because he'll probably be unemployed soon. I doubt he'll be there next season, and tonight was probably just then, really. I mean, if this was the Champions League and we were getting hammered, that's fine, because we know we're not really a good team, but it's Europa and we're out with a game to go. Even last season where we didn't play well in the Europa, we still managed to pull it through, so the teams went backwards. And I saw that Ronnie said that, trust him, we'll be ready for the Champions League next season. I said after the game, I don't think he'll be there. So I thought we'd play
well. What do you want to say, though?
Just look, don't treat the fans daft. I mean, come on. Don't treat us like fools. It's also being a bit arrogant, Rangers style, by saying we're definitely going to win the league. That's a disgrace. But it was a bit like the Fenerbahce game, except with a one goal start. But and that was in like November. That was a while ago. So like, nothing really changed since then. The team's not getting any better. Interesting that David Moyes was there the night, I suppose.
And his
assistant. Well, there you go. So, well, no talk about like potential managers out of respect. Ronnie, as journalists always say, they don't talk about a manager while he's in a job. But it was a sad, really, I suppose, what's happened. That we're so bad, really. And if we're going to talk about the AGM, and Lowell did say last week that Ronnie was like a builder of teams. Well, if that was, and like, especially working with the youth players, if that was the case, he should have got a job working with a youth team. No way, being the manager. But I'm not really sure where we go for here, but the pressing stops.
See, I can't really disagree. It just seems to have happened just about every European game we've played this year, where we seem to go ahead and then just turn into a different team. Like, we came out flying the same way we did against Fenerbahce, same, well, to the lead in Ajax. So it's just, we seem to go on the front foot, and then when we actually get ahead, we just fucking go into a shell and let them come at us. That happened again tonight, and
I think that was always a game plan, though. You know, because he had changed the game plan tonight. Like, you know, the last four games was all about, you know, getting forward, getting the fullbacks forward, and he changed that tonight. He put two banks of four, and they got it. I think the plan was to get an early goal and then sit back, but obviously, I say, like, clean sheet in Europe is, you know, very, very rare these days. I mean, I think well, Carabag's a harsh one, but I think anyway, but you know, it's very rare to see us keep a clean sheet in Europe these days, and once I scored the first goal, it took us about maybe 10 minutes to get back into it, but I think the plan was always to sit back and soak up a bit of pressure, but when you do that, you need to be able to keep teams out, and, you know, we obviously can't.
No, I agree, like you say, but I just don't think we're good enough to soak up pressure. We'll just, the players, I don't know if it's a mental thing or they just basically aren't good enough, like they just can't handle teams coming at them. Like, I think we get away with it a lot because we don't get it in the SPL, and we just, when we come up against a slightly better, because that's the thing, that Ajax team, they weren't very good, the same as they were in Amsterdam.
Aye, like, but they had wingers that can create chances. I mean, the boy in the left wing was outstanding, and he should have won the game himself, and he was unlucky to hit a post. Ajax, they're top of the league, they're a younger team than Celtic, and they're performing well every week, and they're winning. I mean, I know people saying they were rubbish in that, but, I mean, aye, they weren't great tonight, but, you know, you can see they're playing as a team, they're playing with a lot of confidence. They'd won at the back for the last 20 minutes. So, you know, the difference between Celtic and Ajax is, I mean, the night Celtic, aye, there's a lot of players in there that weren't there, but the passing for Mackay Stevens, Armstrong, Rogic, McGregor was alright, but at times he gave the ball away. The passing was abysmal. Griffiths, Forrest, all made the wrong decisions, and they're not playing as a team at the minute. That one in the first, the second half for Forrest, he's got to play an Armstrong. Armstrong's screwing goals, got to play him in, and he doesn't. And Griffith's done it 3 or 4 times. Well, they're just not playing as a team. It's just like, you know, you bring 11 guys in and say, right, well, you're wearing the green and white taps tonight, right, this is how we're going to set up. And it takes time, but as much as I'm a big, I like Dyla an awful lot, and you need to say, you know, Ajax, a lot of players missing out, and they didn't look as if they'd missed a beat tonight. So, I really want to support him, and I don't want to go on the bandwagon or he's got to go on at the end of the world, as some people like to think, but they need to at least show a unit, you know, that they're at times it was all just kind of one for one, you know, one for one. It's kind of depressing to see us go out and not be able to keep the ball, because you can keep teams out if you're able to keep the ball, and we couldn't, and I, our best player, Beaton, sitting in the stands tonight, but surely, you know, it's not just, you know, it's 3-4 year passes that we're failing me, and you can't do that at this level, you know, because teams will pick you off eventually.
I think you can tell that things are on the right, but I don't know what the solution is. I don't think anything will happen to the end of the season, and while Celtic can still win the treble, which they probably will, well, that's not too arrogant, like Rangers, of course, I don't think they'll do anything. But I mean, if the performances keep deteriorating, and if the crowds like plummet, then I think, I don't know, maybe Lowell will make a decision, but it's a bit confusing what's happening there.
People are overreacting a wee bit because Chris, I didn't get delivered to centre half at Ibrox, Sutton had a go at him on the telly, so it must
be I didn't see Chris Sutton's rant, but I did hear about it, and his solution was that we should spend money, which we don't have, so you're not like Chris Sutton.
I like Sutton, he was one, he's probably my favourite of a Celtic player, but I just think he uses his nights to kind of get a standing in with the fans, and he'll change his mind again in February when Celtic are on their way to the treble.
I don't think flinging money at it's the answer, because it's absolutely not. Look at fucking Malmo, look at Mulder. Like, these teams, we spent far more money than them, and they fucking looked far better teams. Like, and if you're flinging money at it, who do you fling at? Do you trust Dyla a bit, or do you just, do you go for somebody like Samoyes? Well, yeah.
We can't even trust Dyla with money because he's never had it to spend, and we don't really know. Obviously he's getting a say in his signings, but there seems to be, like, Liverpool, like some sort of mad committee with Lowell, Park and Dyla. That's obviously got to change. What they've got to do is you've got to put full trust in it. You can't just sack somebody if you've not given them full trust. What they should say to him is you should give him a list. But my problem is, I think Dyla will bring in 4 or 5 Scandinavian players and maybe tap into that market, and that might not be nobody answer, considering a lot of these guys will just have finished their season. They'll probably be sharp come January, but I think that's maybe what his solution would be, because remember Neil Lennon's solution was Richard Dunn, Kevin Doyle and some Irish kid. But I think you need to trust him, you need to give him a list and say, like, he's 3-4 players that you haven't brought in, because he must have players that he managed in Norway, or he must have been watching players quite clearly. I mean, I'd go for the boy Elianusi on the left,
think he was an airplane. I just don't know that. I was like, I mean, if you're going to back him, you need to give him full rein, and if you're not going to back him, but David Moyes isn't going to walk into Celtic, or anybody with any reputable skills has got to walk into Celtic and say, aye, right, Eric team, right, this guy called John Park and me, we're going to back the players you sign. You only really get to say aye or no. We tell you who we're going for. It didn't work under Mowbray when they signed off a team in the January. Lennon, alright, Lennon had a wee bit of success for it. But towards the end of Lennon's reign, it went tits up. And now, it's not working. And, I mean, at least they're spending the money in Scotland this time, to be fair. No, not abroad, but, like, I just don't know. I don't know where they go. They either say to Dyla here, here's a couple of million, and then go and get your own players, or I don't see how Dyla can survive if he isn't given that free rein.
I'm just not sure. Everybody knows I'm a big Dyla fan, but it depends. Like a lot of people say, in terms of changing the manager's just not going to solve it. It literally is much bigger than that. It's like Dyla. I don't know. Look, everybody's saying Moyes and that, but like you say, he's not going to just come in and say, all right, I'll work like this. Like, it's probably going to end up being. Maybe I'll just keep Dyla till after the Euros and then get John's hero, Michael O'Neillan.
Yes, please.
That would be a fucking mistake.
Why?
Because when this is going to sound better, but when Celtic were playing the United in the Cup last year, I know he played for Dundee United, but him and David Tanner could not have been more delighted that Celtic were getting beat at half time. And he thought Van Dijk should have been sent off. He thought that Chief J kicking Brown was just a wee bit cheeky. He thought it was a Stonewall penalty when the boy Conley dived. Nah, Michael O'Neill should never be anywhere near a Celtic job.
I'm sure Michael O'Neill was taking Celtic to the Champions League glory. We'll forget about that. Rather than going, he's constantly getting knocked out all the time.
But he's not one of the greatest, isn't he, Champions League, though? You know what I mean?
I thought a decent manager would have a chance.
But he's not a decent manager.
He is. Look what he's done with Northern Ireland and bloody Shamrock Rovers. He's got Shamrock Rovers for a terrible Irish league into the Europa League qualifiers. He's got Northern Ireland, who's been a joke for years, into the Euros. This super-duper Scotland team, who's supposedly better than Northern Ireland, can I get there? So
they beat them.
Northern Ireland?
Aye.
And a friendly or something, big deal. No, he's a very good manager, Michael O'Neill. He'd be great for Celtic. I'd get back into Celtic with that hand. I've said for the start, I know how you hate this, but I don't care. I've said for the very start that Dyla was a poor appointment. And it has been a poor appointment.
He said from his first defeat that it was a poor appointment. As soon as we get beaten again, it's sorry you jumped on that.
Proven to be the case.
Right, just quickly moving back to tonight, did anybody get past Mark Savage? Two players in particular that I thought played quite well tonight.
I've got four. I thought were brilliant.
Right, go for your full in, Bruce.
Simonovic, Tierney, Boyata and McGregor. And Scott Harvin and all.
John, did you get any?
I thought Simonovic played no bad. Forrest came onto a game. I actually thought Ireland did well with that pass. It's not his fault we get beat. That was just one of these things. Tierney done no bad. And that's about it. The other ones didn't really do much. Lee Griffiths, I think, proved he's an SPL level striker tonight. He was poor.
Should have scored that one. Alan put him through. He's
should have buried that. But I mean, we've played worse in Europe this season. But it's the same old result, so ho-hum.
I thought there was a few, like you have mentioned, that were alright. Like, I don't really disagree with who you says, but I thought Boyata and Forrest were my standouts. I thought
Forrest played well, I
thought it was good to actually see Forrest. Actually, it seems to be a bit more consistent this season, because I know we drew not an each week on Malik on Saturday, but he was the best player in the park on that as well. Like, he's just seems to be a bit more. I thought a lot of them let him down. Lustig was just getting laughed at doing that. I know the left winger was playing well, but every time they had Lustig one-on-one, he was just fucking doing them. So midfield was very poor. McGregor played alright, but Armstrong screaming that he went in the middle, passing was poor. Mackay Stephen was
I thought Armstrong started well. I thought he had a great wee bit of playing the goal. I think what happened was I like Armstrong. I think he's got to be a great player into the future, but and he has been poor this season. But I think what happened to him was he got stuck between Rogic and McGregor, and he seemed to be all over the place. He was all over the place in the first half. I thought the second half he came on to a game a wee bit more, but I do agree his passing was disgraceful.
I thought Rogic as well, he like seems to spoke about it three or four times on this pod, where we don't know whether he is just SPL or Europe, if he can step up a bit. But I think he's proved once again that he's just not up for this level. He's just very, very poor.
I need to grow into it though. Like, there's like Armstrong. I said that on Saturday when I was at the game. It was the first game I've been in a while, because I'm a part time Tim and all that. I liked, although it was a do or not in each draw, right? I liked parts of what I've seen. I thought the way that, like, that you can see what Dyer was trying at times, because when they get the ball at the back, right? The big boy Jozo, he just gets the ball and it's a touch out his foot and it's away. You know, there's no messing about. Sometimes he comes outside and comes inside with the ball and looks to make things happen, but generally it's just touch in a way, and Boyata is trying the same, and you can tell they look more like a unit at the back when he's in the team, right? But when the ball comes to players like Brown, right, and Beaton, they just get it out wide, and then it comes back in to Brown, to Beaton, to Armstrong, to Beaton, Brown, Forrest, and you know, Comanek will just sit in there hanging as if, but the problem is the strikers, they don't play the ball in the strikers' feet. Like, when they put Chief Joe on and they went to up front, they just kept doing the same thing. They didn't change. They just were kind of hoping that the ball would fall to somebody in the box. But with players like Armstrong and Mackay Stevens, right, you need to remember they came from Dundee United, where they were the best players in the team and they were relied upon all the time, right? So they come to Celtic and they say, oh, the expectation's even greater. But their role in the team diminishes because, you know, players like Armstrong and Mackay Stephen, they were always getting the ball. Whenever they did, now it's like, you need to wait until Armstrong, you need to wait until players like Commons, Johansson, Beaton, Brown all decide you can get a touch of the ball. I don't know, like, obviously they've been poor, but they then need to grow into it, and you need to ask if they've got what it takes to grow into playing for Celtic, and you need to say, at a minute, you're not really seeing it for Armstrong and Mackay Stephen. I thought Mackay Stephen was poor tonight.
I'm particularly worried about him. I just think he's...
But I think he's just a typical winger, you know. I was hoping for something good to happen for him, because he's another one of them, you know, kind of likeable players. And I think he's a great wee player when he's in full flow, but he looks as if he's not getting confidence. There's a couple of times where I said on Saturday, if he could get a ball running at players, he'd be alright, but about three or four times a night he had a chance to run at players and he didn't. And I think he's really, really suffering at the minute.
I think when we look back at Ronnie's time, it'll be like the three United players. We'll all remember the signings and how they got on with Celtic, and I think so far they've all proved to be quite disappointing. Armstrong, who is the one I've got the highest hopes for, that we could end up flogging him for big money, he did start off really well with us, and this season, though, he's been poor. I know he's not been playing his natural position, but still been poor. Mackay Stevens was always inconsistent with United for a while, and he's a winger, so he'll usually be inconsistent, and I was a bit surprised that we were so desperate to sign him in the first place, but he's blown. I think he'll probably end up back at Dundee in a couple of years, a similar level team, and Nadir Chiefji, well, I don't really know what to say. I think we were all a bit concerned about that signing, how they were all so desperate for him. I don't know if it was Ronnie that was really wanting him on the committee, but they seemed desperate for him, and he's not really done much. So I think when we look back at Ronnie's time, we'll remember these Dundee United players, like, because we've no signed players for a Scottish team like that for a good while, and that'll be a defining players that he signed. I suppose like somebody like Simanovic will probably end up being better players, but it's like this experiment to sign players for Scottish teams that Lowell was talking about at the AGM and building them up into a team, so far it's not been successful. I know it's the early days, but I think we should maybe go back to some other signing route, but we'll just need to wait and see what happens with it.
Well, no, I agree, because Dyer says that a few times as well. He says we sign players who can be Champions League players, but they're not there yet. And it's like, well, eventually, like with results like this and seasons like this and last thing, the seeding's going to eventually go, and it's going to be even more difficult for us to get there.
No, I think if you're still in that Champions route, I think you're all right, you know.
I think we'll probably be all right for another couple of years anyway, if we keep winning the league, which under Rotten there's no guarantees.
No, you're not meant to give credit for winning the league, because it's a given, apparently.
Yep, well said.
Right, so I'll just take a quick snap poll of you, if you think Dyer will go either now or at the end of the season. So I'll start with Bruce.
I think if you read into the EGM, you see it for the next few years, I think, but reality, I don't know. If he wins the treble, you need to give him a chance. If he wins the treble, you need to give him a chance to get into the Champions League. I'd give him a third chance. I think if he doesn't get it right, he doesn't get it right. But I'm not going to be fussed. I'm not fussed. Part of me thinks that I want it to work more than it is working, obviously. And I maybe want that a wee bit too much because I like Dylan. I was a refreshing change for look at me, England, for Neil Lennon. But I'm a wee bit scunnered. I hate when a popular opinion turns so quick, like, not so quick because it's been against Dylan for a while, but finding it more difficult to defend him. So I can see he's looking for a manager in the summer, but I don't think Celtic are doing their job if they don't ask people like David Moyes if they're interested whilst they're out of employment.
John?
I think I'll go at the end of the season. I think they'll probably give him like a last hurrah win in the league. Maybe they'll announce it just before then. They'll say something like, hasn't he worked out, like, your results wise in Europe? Just that sort of thing. I think Dermot Desmond will probably pick the next manager, because I think it was Dermot Desmond that wanted Roy Keane. This Roney experiment is definitely Peter Lowell's idea, and these results in Europe are becoming indefensible even for Roney's biggest fans. So I think he'll leave, like Bruce. So I think, and OC in fact. So I think he'll leave at the end of the season, and Dermot Desmond will probably handpick the next guy. So who alone knows who that'll be? Hopefully Michael O'Neill, but I would have my doubts.
Hey, I just want, right, you seem to be fairly against Dyer, right? What do you think happens if Fenerbahce take 3 or 4 off us in 2 weeks' time?
Nothing.
Yeah, do you not think the pressure goes up? Because I think it's a done deal. I think it's, I'd rather let Fenerbahce go through than Ajax.
Nothing will happen even if Fenerbahce hammer us. They wouldn't sit. The fans would just go mad.
No, I'm not talking about the board. I'm talking about the fans.
Oh, what would the fans' reaction be?
Aye.
Oh, they'd go mad. I know it was a deed game, but if we ended up getting hammered, there'd be a right adverse reaction. Aye, that would be very bad for Ronnie. I don't think they'd probably still win the sack him, but if we ended up getting beat like 5-0 or something in Turkey, then the campaign for my goal would like really start in earnest. What do you guys think would happen if we get hammered out there?
I think it would need to be... I'm the same as you, John. I think it would need to be probably 5 or 6 before it would really escalate. I think we fully expected to go out there and get beat 3-0, and I wouldn't be surprised if it did. Bruce, what do you think would happen?
I think people would give it the full shock. Oh my God, how bad really are Celtic? Can't believe this. It's a dead game. Much like the reason I asked is because me and John were hammered for suggesting that a 6-1 defeat in the Nou Camp is a bad result for Celtic, despite it being a deep game 2 years ago.
Right.
I think something very similar is going to happen. Because I can't see, I think we'll actually be a worse reaction if we're in fucking one. And I think we'll get done. Be a good few. I think Fenerbahce will score 2 or 3 early probably. And people will be like, well, can't believe how bad they are, but obviously it's been obvious how bad they are in Europe. But just to what do you think Dyer's got to do then at the end of the season?
I think they'll come in agreement with the board and they'll leave. The results in Europe are too bad to justify.
He's not going to decide to leave. It's going to be the board. I genuinely believe in a Desi part of it that he does think he is building something here. So don't think there's any danger he's going to try and go for an agreement with him, especially if that mob get promoted. Well, I know Hibs will win the league anyway, but if they can go up through the playoffs, then he's going to want that challenge.
But that'll just put even more pressure on him, and he's showing that in our biggest games, which, like it or not, the Nou are in Europe, he's not been able to cope with that. Apart from that in a Milan game, which is approaching Pittodrie 2014 levels of greatness. The Inter Milan games, everything is on about. We did play well in the Vos League, but we didn't win any of them, don't forget. But, I mean, the problem is, if we end up going out of Europe again, if we don't go for the Champions League again, which I don't think we will under Ronnie, I think the team's fundamentally right for it, and it won't be sorted by next August, then they've got another problem, because going out 3 times, no Champions League money 3 years in a row is indefensible. 2 is bad enough. At least they got to the last 32, I think, of the Euros last year. the Europa. This year we're out of the Europa with a game to go, the Champions League as well. So I think he really should get a job with a youth team. And the fact that, because he keeps building for the future and wanting for young players, they should just give him a job with a youth team if they wanted to, and they were going to make him Lennon's assistant, of course. So obviously...
But that would have been with a view of taking Lennon's job.
If he worked for a year or something.
When it becomes obvious that Man United and Arsenal all come for Lennon.
I can't believe this criticism, and you'll be Miss Rangers Lennon. This is a disgrace. Well, if they were unsure about making one of the manager in the first place, which is why they wanted him to be the assistant, why did they give him the job then? Was there literally no other people available? Or him and Lowell must have come up with this idea that he's going to be this guy that's going to mould us and this young, mega fit team that's going to end up selling players for loads, and that's not really happening. I think most of the players that have been sold were players that Lennon bought. That have been sold for big money, is that right? The senior players that were sold for big money, they were all Lennon signings, weren't they?
Aye, but sadly bought anybody that could be sold at a minute, would you say?
Nadir chiefed you.
Well, I would say that if Beaton was to go for a lot of money, then Dyer would deserve better credit for that.
Well, maybe. Still signed by good old Neil.
Oh, of course, this is what we're getting at now. Mind, under Lennon, all the good players were Lennon signings, and the bad players were Park signings, and now the good players are Lowell signings, and the bad players are Dyer signings. You know, so fans are going to change all the time. As you say, though, I think... I don't agree he should have been a youth coach. I mean, the guy's got enough credentials. He won the Norwegian League, for fuck's sake. So he's won a title in his own country. And that, he brought through a young boy that went to Real Madrid for a lot of money as well. So he knows what he's doing. He's no daft. He's just...
He also made Stefan scapegoat Johansson.
Yes. And it's not working at the minute, right? And there's got to come a point where you need to say, do you just let it go? Because it is becoming a wee bit indefensible. And as I say, I like Dyer a lot, but I just think he's not been backed enough at times. They just bought loans in last year, loans, and then this year, they signed a boy, Chiefty. I wasn't against the Chiefty signing, but I think I was sceptical. I was brought round to it a wee bit when he signed, because I thought, maybe I'll get behind him.
But hold on a sec. We say he's not been backed, but we did sign Simunovic for supposedly $3.5 million. And he's not a bad player, which I doubt was how much we signed him for, really. But so that's more money than we've signed spent on a player for a while.
I mean, that's still with $7 million profit on Van Dijk.
He's a good player though, that boy. The people are talking about like Dyer's wasting money. I don't think he's had money to waste. I think the boy Simunovic is a very good player, and he'll go. I think he's the next captain. I've seen enough of him to think that when Brown goes, he'll be the captain. And I think if he's in that team for 6 months, injury free, the defence will be a lot better.
It's too early to tell.
He steadies Boyata a lot. Boyata looks better.
It's like 21. He's like 21.
Hold on a sec. I'm just looking here at Wikipedia. So if it's on Wikipedia, it must be true. And it says here that Simunovic was for $5.5 million.
Oh, it's a good bit of money, aye.
So
that might have been euro, so.
This is pounds here, so it must be true. So, and $1.5 million for Boyata. And $1.5 million for Chiefty. So that's was never a great add.
They've not got Boyata on a free?
No, $1.5 million.
His contract.
No, isn't it that much?
We've at least spent more than $9 million. So it has been backed, and the only player we've sold two players for big money, really. Van Dijk for $13 million and the legendary Adam Matthews for $2 million. Or like $500,000 for Pukki as well. Well, maybe Lowell's not that bad. So I don't know what they're going to do, because our biggest games of the season, they now are in August. Can you sack a manager in August? It's happened before, I suppose. That's what they'll be trying to weigh up what to do. Either give Ronnie Wanmi a go or accept that it's not going to work in Europe, and it's too detrimental to the club to be so poor in Europe every season.
See, that's what worries me, because like I'm on this. I don't think he will go, and I think that he's going to have this whole season to just go domestically, start building, not building, but get his team settled. Because I think next summer we might actually get away with no selling any of our massive players, so we beat on signing a new deal. So then you're in the situation where he is going to have a real go at it. Champions League. But if he doesn't do that, then, like you say, can you sack him? I'm not for 1 minute scared that that mob will be anywhere near us, but can you really sack him if, like, in, say, September, like the first international break? I don't know.
No, I think what happens if they don't qualify for the Champions League, you'll be told that unless he gets out the Europa League stage, he's going into January or November or whatever. But if he doesn't get into the Champions League, he's going anyway at end of season. And he's got to get through the Europa League to stay at the end of season, to be honest.
I doubt that. I know his idea is a long-term plan, but I really doubt he'll be at Celtic for much longer. I think it'll be either another season or another half a season.
Well, I think in 12 months' time, will either be in the Champions League group, said Johnny won't be here.
No, they wouldn't sack him in August. No, I mean, they wouldn't sack him in November. Celtic don't usually sack managers during the season. No, unless, like, well, drastically behind Rangers. Mowbray was the last manager who was sacked during the season. The rest of them left like, at their own time. That's not really Celtic's.
Well, if we continue doing that way, then I think you've got to do what Bruce does and have a plan B and actually actively speak to these managers that are out of contract. So that you know that if you're going to bring somebody in who's actually 99% sure is going to do a better job.
I think Dermot Desmond's probably doing that rather than go to AGMs.
No, I think that would be the way I would do it. I don't think you can sack somebody in August. I think that would be daft. Because nobody would take it. Because then, you know, it would be probably John Collins that took there for the dugout. But I think if they weren't to qualify, you'd need to say to him, like, right, you need to get through the Europa League stage or you're out. But you're out to end the season anyway. I hate talking like this about that because I like him, but we didn't sell Van Dijk until after the Champions League, right? I know he was away. Anyway, everybody knew he was going. Dyer did have him for the Champions League, and we were badly let down at the end of the Champions League qualifiers. But if we can get the same team in next year, I think we it's not that we're not good enough to qualify for the Champions League, right? Whether we're good enough for the Champions League, we're not good enough to be in the Champions League, we know that, right? Because we'd be getting fucked. But we can certainly qualify for it. We should have qualified for it the last 2 years, so we're good enough to get into the Champions League. And it's just, last, Maribor, I didn't blame him. Malmo, I did blame him, but I thought the players were badly let him down. But you can't, as you say, three strikes and you're out, but you can't sack somebody in August because who takes it? You know what I mean? People, you can't just say that in August because nobody's got to come in if they've not got a transfer window to work with. So then you need to look at, like, Stevie Frail's not in anymore, so it'll be like Kennedy or Collins. And then the fans, a lot of fans don't like John Collins for some mad reason. And it's all his fault anyway, what's happening at Celtic. So he wouldn't be on their side, fans would be turning away. As you say, they get the first international break and just say, Wolves Warriors are 3 points in front of us. You know what I mean? The pressure's on then the new guys. So they need to make a decision either mid-season or at the end of the season. And so they need to make a decision in June or May this year. But if Dyer wins a treble, you can't, in my opinion, you can't turn around and say, all right, well done for that. You've only done one thing that only two Celtic managers have done before, but you're out of job.
No, I agree. I know. We sack somebody in September. I'm pretty sure that Neil Francis will be unemployed at that point. He'll fancy the hero role.
No, he'll never come back.
I don't know.
Say that before, he'll not come back.
Right, in other news, John, you were at the Celtic AGM. What did you take from it and what can you tell us for the future and the present?
I was, as a fanatical diehard Celtic fan, of course I was there. It was odd. Sadly, Matt McGowan wasn't there to complain about not having recognition, saving the club in 1994. So that was a blow. But the highlight was the chairman, Ian Banker, who, after well-known Tory Lord Ian Livingston, there was a vote to put him back on the board, and people rightfully, in my opinion, voted no. He went on a rant, an undignified rant, more associated with the people from Ibrox, I'd say, an undignified rant about how Celtic fans were racists because Ian Livingston gets some racist abuse for a couple of people complaining because he was a Jew, not because he's a Tory. And Ian Banker went on a rant about how it was racist. So that's Celtic's employees have called Celtic's fans smelly and racists this season. So what a strange season this is. And then when the voted no, put him back in the board, went about it was disappointing, but then he got back in the board. So, and then Ian Livingston went on some Celtic websites with some examples of the that we should go. So I think Ian Bankrupt will end up leaving as chairman relatively soon, because of this. Like, there's been calls for him to go, and he released another statement, and then there's been some other statements that I just haven't the ability to read because I'm so exhausted with it. So that was interesting. Dermot Desmond wasn't there as usual, and I've been, I think, 3 or 4 AGMs. He's never been. One Delia was there. He looked very uncomfortable. I was sitting near the back, and there was videos because he looked extremely uncomfortable. He didn't really say much. Pierre Lowell did say he was like building a team for the future. Like, the days I was spending big money are over. It's about getting players young and then selling them for big money. Stuff we've heard before. Questions for the crowd were fairly interesting. Some people were still groaning about that. Inverness apparently went decision. Like, Rob is the treble, which I might not have won anyway. It was an interesting day, but I think I'll be remembered as the day Ian Banker probably finished his reign as Celtic chairman because of that old judge rant. Yeah, I do that to your customers. And we'd always getting told we're the best fans in the world, and we're more than a club. And you can't do that to your fans. I know any abuse seen Lewis and go was very poor and shouldn't have happened. I don't know, it didn't really make me any more enthusiastic about going to Celtic games again. AGM. I think next year's will be even more interesting because we'll probably be playing Rangers again. And who knows who the manager will be. But I think apart from the banker thing, the most interesting thing was how deeply uncomfortable Ronnie looked during the whole thing. And I think he only got asked one question.
He knew you were all there.
Yeah,
I've got a question for Mr. Delia.
No, I didn't bother doing a shoot. I did do a shoot promo though, demanding that Ian Banker retract his statement. He said that Celtic fans were racist. And there was a lot of stuff about the living wage as well, which Celtic still won't implement, which is disappointing, but I expect that for a football club. So it was interesting. They did show a video clip at the end, a tribute to Billy McNeil, because we're unveiling a statue of Billy McNeil on the 19th of December. And, like, they did Lowell and Ronnie and Banker all get interviewed, like, we pre-recorded video screens, and a guy for the board defending why we won't implement the living wage policy. That was a bit crass. But it's a football club, so what do you expect? So it was an interesting day, and maybe I'll attend next year, I'm not sure.
So how did what was the reactions to the living wage discussions and that, and how did the defend their stance?
They've introduced something that's, I can't remember what it is, it's sort of equivalent to living wage, but no as much as living wage. And they've introduced something called Celtic Pride, which is some deeply the bizarre sounding thing that all the employees of Celtic couldn't go into. I don't know.
Is it a Celtic pension scheme?
God knows, it's probably got 50 pence off like Celtic Talks or something. And no DVDs.
Funnily enough, I actually was on the Celtic, the jobs part of the Celtic website, and they were looking for somebody working in the ticket office, but it was on a 0-hour contract as well.
Jesus. It's not a very charitable club these days. I think the worst part about the living wage thing was I knew they wouldn't implement it, but getting a guy that works for the club to talk about how this thing that's not quite a living wage was much better on video, that was, I thought that was a bit depressing. And like Ronnie's answers to the individual were like to be expected, like it's no easy when the league and all that lies. It didn't really fill me with great confidence for the future, and then The night happened, so interesting last week at Celtic.
Is there anything else for the talk of the AGM?
I'm trying to think about any other questions. There was a thing about like Rangers. Somebody says that like we've been cheated for years. Obviously I stifled a laugh. A team that's won 97 domestic trophies has been cheated. About that Resolution 12, whatever it was, I don't really know what that's about. I see an awful lot of talk about it on forums, but I just fall asleep immediately. Didn't really say much. He did say, I'm sure, that he wanted to buy more experienced players. I don't know if he said that at the AGM, I can't remember, or if he said that on Friday at the press conference. Ronnie said he wanted to sign more experienced players, so that completely goes against like why he was brought in, to mould young players. So that was interesting. Scott Brown, Danish Cruciman, was interesting, so he's out for 3 months. And then, of course, we're going to play in America as well next season.
Something else that happened in the last week was there's apparently been talks to schedule a Dundee versus Celtic game over in Philadelphia. Bruce, what did you make of that?
Aye, weird, mental.
that it would even be a possibility, but I'm all for it. Why not? You know, anything that brings your game to a bigger audience has got to be approached, it's got to be looked at, considered. Is it a bit mental? Aye. But and I didn't even know them were owned by Texas, a guy from Texas, until this all happened. But I don't see anything wrong with it. I think people are about their game's rubbish, but aye, why? And what, you know what I mean? What if Celtic go there and put on a good performance and score a few goals? You know, there's a lot of Celtic fans in America. Celtic are a big deal in America. So they are, so to get over there and for it to be competitive, because we've been going on there and offering them absolutely nothing the last couple of times. It's only a good thing. It's a great thing for Scottish football if there were to be a game in America. And only EPL fanboys think it's a bad idea.
I agree. I think it'd be aiming to increase our exposure. I mean, one game against Dundee, it's just to see how it goes. What's the harm?
Just think about it, right? Like, there'll be some boy in Philadelphia that's like 11, and all he knows is American football and wrestling, probably, right? And he's got to leave that game thinking,
I'm going back to American football and wrestling.
I want to be like Paul Hartley.
You could be the new Dominic Chelvey.
I want to be Greg Stewart. I want to be Scott Allen.
I want to be Lee Griffiths.
Kevin Thompson. I mean, so if there's a chance that something magical like that could happen, you need to embrace it. I don't see anything up with it at all. I think it's a great idea. And God willing it happens, because it'd be a good laugh. As I say, you know, everybody will be raging because they've not managed to get Stoke v Viver in fucking San Francisco. But the wee shitey Scottish League's got a game in America, so good luck to them. Hope it happens.
John, would you make it?
Yes. Aiming to get a bit of interest in this pretty dull league now. I think it's a bit of a daft idea, but I mean, he has money. I don't know how much money he'll get out. I mean, go ahead with it, like, make it a sort of first game of the season extravaganza live on, I imagine if it was live on ESPN, that'd be a bit weird, live on the WWE network. So
it'll be on at like 4, maybe 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, so it'll be like 9 o'clock, maybe 10 or here. But, you know what I mean, even if they put it on at 1 o'clock, you know, in prime time, you know what I mean, it would be the big guns, they'd be rolling it, the big guns, like Vince McMahon and JR to present it, and why not? Do you know what I mean? Was it not? I mean, Paul Heyman knows Philadelphia pretty well, so he'll be right into it. And maybe Brock Lesnar can pick a Celtic team.
He can bring the ball out and put it in the centre circle. New SPFL ratings boom period. Too much wrestling. I suppose it's to get a bit interest in the Scottish football. I mean, I can't really do any harm. It's a bit daft.
It's not going to do any harm, because if it was to happen, right, I think it's the first time something like this has ever happened. So that the interest in it will be massive.
This time next year they'll be playing in Celtic Rangers in San Francisco. So
if it happens, they bring games over here and play them in London, so how come we no bring games over here? I mean, I find it odd that it's Dundee's idea. Do you know what I mean? It's not as if they've been approached. It's like Dundee's idea. But fair play to Dundee for trying to get a bit of interest in the game.
So
because they may as well just stay over there and play in the MLS.
It's a point club. Aye. So another interesting week in the history of Celtic.
As always. So I think we'll wrap it here, so I'll pass it over to the guys who can give you our messages. So John, you get any messages for your fans?
Thanks for having me back, guys. Hopefully the pod won't take another month long holiday again.
We'll be back for our next big game, so see you in July.
Maybe we'd do a pod for the Scottish Cup draw. See who we get in the fourth round or something. I mean,
when is it?
It must be soon, because the third round's on Saturday. So thanks.
Have they moved the Scottish Cup back?
It's not in December anymore, it's in January again.
Push.
Because I mind a couple of years ago we knocked out of Europe and we were playing Hearts away, and we were all worried. They might end up winning 7-0 or something.
Euphoria?
Utopia.
Oh, Utopia. Utopia, that was it. Oh, what a guy. I'm a
I bet it doesn't, you know, Johnny.
Oh, was Lightning Lennon, was it Celtic? I never slagged him. Aye, so thanks for having me on after yet another Euro meltdown. And no doubt the next time something interesting happens, hopefully I'll be back on. So I'll be back on in May.
Bruce?
Aye, just I know we took a wee holiday, but it's hard pinning down when John Reid's got to be on the show. You need to wait for Celtic defeats to get quality like this.
That's so true. I would have come on if we'd won.
He brings in the numbers, so fair play to him. But you can find me wherever. I'm currently a free agent.
Not on the Daily Record blog anymore, which is a scandal.
My lawyers will be handling any discussions about that. Keep the faith if there's any left. Then have a Merry Christmas, because we'll probably not be back to July.
Is this the Christmas special? I don't believe
it. Christmas special will be in a couple of weeks.
No, I apologise for not being on for a while, but we will be back.
We've actually an excuse, because we took the Scotland game off and then but we'll go to day one, we just go, aye.
Hunter will be back, but...
Maybe there could be another disaster pod if we lose to Inverness on Sunday.
Crisis room.
But no, aye, thanks for listening, and we will be back soon. And if you've made it this far, we've got nothing but respect for you. Cheers. Hail, hail.
Hail, hail.
Hail, hail.